Now, stay tuned for the Dr. and Mrs. Future show here on KSCO. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks, welcome to another beautiful week in Santa Cruz, California. And wherever you might be on this wonderful planet, or off planet, hopefully, maybe. Hey, it'd be nice to have somebody on the space station give us a call. We'll see. But anyway, we do have...
We do have Bobby.
We do have... Yes, we do have Bobby
Wilder. He's the inner space station, I'd say.
Our science correspondent in San Francisco, and Mrs. Future. You know, and they're both kind of here in the studio, except kind Bobby's of. Not. He's in the virtual studio with us. Hi, Bobby. Yes. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Yeah. Yeah, I was going to report about the new Sputnik 5.
Yes. Yes. And then Kamala Harris has to come onto the news just before us. You know, everyone's kind of curious about her and how she's going to deal with things. But we're going to focus on our headlines pretty much.
Okay.
So there'll be plenty of political conversation on our vice presidential Democratic nominee. Yes. So Putin is the first to approve a new COVID-19 vaccine, from what I'm reading. What do you know about that, Bobby?
Well, it's one of these new, what's called adenoviruses.
Adenovirus
vaccines. Mm. And what it does is, it's never been used before, but they've been working on it for about 20 years for treating like Ebola also. And it turns out there's companies here in the United States that are doing the same thing on these adenoviruses, and like Johnson & Johnson.
Oh, really? And that's also in the news this week, too, the Johnson & Johnson deal.
So they're both trying to come out with this new novel way of using vaccines, but it hasn't been tested. There's a lot of controversy because...
How
safe is it? Yeah, because it's never been really done to a large populace before. Mm. So,
Putin says one of his daughters has taken it as a volunteer and feels good.
Well, when we see Putin take it, maybe.
We'll see.
I think he's willing to sacrifice his daughters, huh?
Yeah. Yes,
for the
PR.
She's a strong immune system, my daughter.
And trust but verify. You know, we're not even sure her daughter got the real thing, you know.
Yes, Moscow's Gamaleya Institute.
Yes, it's definitely a first for the world. And, you know, it's another great moment for Russia, I'm sure, to have something out there in the front. But it had less than 2 months of phase two trials, and it's past the phase three trials. So by the end of the month, they're going to start giving it to doctors and medical people and teachers, I guess. And then next month, larger populace, but it's going to be voluntary.
So as far as you know, is this the first vaccine that's actually getting out there? I mean, I've heard something about the Chinese giving vaccines to their troops.
Yeah, the military, yes. Yeah, we're not really sure. I don't have that much information on what China has given the military. I mean, they've given them everything from vitamin C, D. They've given them all kinds of things to prep them.
It's not public data. Yeah,
it's right. It's not public data. I mean, it's just like their Mars rover. They're not going to share any of the information that they're gaining from that.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. So it's more like the Russians maybe might be slightly better at sharing, you think?
Oh, well, yeah. I think the Russians are definitely better at sharing, in fact. And they're really open to novel treatments also. Well, from other drugs out there.
My understanding is that it's a two-dose regimen for the Russian drug. What do you know about that?
Yeah, I don't know exactly the procedure. Yeah, it probably will take two injections.
They say two serotypes of the adenovirus, each carrying an S antigen of the new coronavirus.
And that's the problem with these adenovirus vaccines, is that the second injection, your body can build up antibodies to this injection. So the second injection could not take hold. And that's the big the deal about the second injection about these adeno-type vaccines.
Mm.
Well, what are the cautionary tales? Like, what do we need to know? Are these the kind of vaccines that do irreparable DNA damage and can get passed on to your genetic offspring?
This one, they claim, does not affect the DNA in the cell. So, but that's still yet to be proven.
To be seen, yeah.
Yes.
Also, in the virus world, there was the deal with Johnson & Johnson, where the COVID-19 vaccine, the U.S. is going to be paying $1 billion for 100 million doses from Johnson & Johnson. That's interesting news. And you said this is similar virus to the Russian one?
I mean,
yes, similar
vaccine. Yeah. They're using this adenovirus pathway to do this. So this is just... they're on the Warp Speed program.
Right, so, Project Warp Speed.
Project, yes. And so they've got, $1 billion to produce that 100 million doses of this vaccine. And then they're slated for another 2 million doses on the second round of their production of this. So they'll probably get another $2 billion later.
200 million doses
under
a subsequent agreement. Right.
Right.
Wow. Well, I guess our species is really trying to get rid of this thing. A lot of big projects.
I think there's less expensive ways of doing this, or at least getting to herd immunity. I think if you look at the last video on the links page with Dr. Schwelt.
Yeah, we watched that over oatmeal this morning.
Oh, good. Yeah. So that's very promising. And that doesn't cost as much, you know, for sure. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he was talking about how T cells have received less attention than antibodies, but they might be more important in the long run for long-term immunity.
Yeah. I think I mentioned that last week or the week before that, you know, there's people that had the SARS-CoV-1 back in 2003. And to this day, like 17 years later, they still have immunity. And those are the T cell immunity that Dr. Schwelt was talking about.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, his promise is to do a lot of focus on the T cell and the immune system, which he claims is not his expertise, but that he will start looking into it and explaining it to all of us who are tracking him. And
yeah.
Before we go any further, it's time for our first break.
So if you want to know more about this, you can go to our links page, drfutureshow.com/links, and the article is called COVID-19 Pandemic Update 101, T-cell immunity versus antibodies and prior exposure to other coronaviruses. And it goes into detail. It's about a 16-minute YouTube movie.
Yes. We're here to help you get educated.
Real docs talking about this.
Be right back.
Welcome back to the show. I just want to do a shout out to my mother, Irene, who had her 90th birthday yesterday.
Yay!
I wish we could have been up there in Canada.
That's right.
Saturday, but the border's closed.
We would have gone dancing, but we had to be here.
But
we had fun on Zoom.
Yeah, you did. We had highly recommended family conversations on Zoom. We were quite satisfying. Not quite as good as actually being in person, but certainly much more easy to accomplish when you have difficult things like border crossings to deal with.
Right. This way, no hugs, but no masks.
Right. So, happy birthday. And we're going to try to get to Canada as soon as it makes sense for us.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah, that's wonderful.
So, we got a caller, Mrs. Future?
We do. We do. Sure enough, we have Jose in Salinas. Hello, Jose.
Hey, Jose.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, good folks. Thank you for having this guest on. Very appreciative.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of doubt and speculation. So what do you say? I have this YouTube video, of course, of a doctor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area who was actually interviewed by a news channel. Mm. So it's not some guy in a basement. And he says, look, 28 years, I've treated COVID patients. It's like a buterol-type treatment. For asthma, you treat it, and I've not lost one of those patients. And I'm trying to tell the CDC, I've told Congressman Cruz, and they're saying, okay, well, we'll get back with you. And it's like, no, I got this, that's helping the people. And I'm thinking, I'm pulling my hair out, saying, man, you guys are closing down the schools. It's almost like you see, they want to make sure that this keeps us down so that someone can profit from it. I hate to say that, but it's very insidious.
Or
they want to keep the economy, or yeah, right. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, there's a guy that's actually got proof, and I just want to know, what do you think about that?
I'm not familiar with the case in Texas. Are you, Bobby?
Yes, it's the doctor in Texas that's treating. He had asthma.
What we're seeing, we saw with the hydroxychloroquine and other compounds, that anything that's really cheap is being panned, and we're focusing on the vaccines mostly in terms of mainstream.
Yeah, it's very obvious that what is going on the surface doesn't match what's going on behind the scenes. And
exactly.
You can guess about why, probably, if you follow the money and the profit motives, that shines a lot of light.
And, you know, 100 million doses paid for by the government that goes to Johnson & Johnson, you know, that's that's a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
If a cheap cure can do the same thing, then it's not good for business, you know, at least for big pharma. So, yeah, I can definitely see the incentive to torpedo short-term inexpensive approaches for more expensive long-term. And at the same time, a lot of these cheap approaches towards curing are not laboratory tested or have clinical trials around them or anything.
No. He said, no, this is a drug that's been around for 20 years. It treats certain types of asthma patients. I forgot the name of it, but I could forward
it was Buterol. It's the inhaler.
Something like it's not an inhaler. It's administered like the the machine that you plug in. And because my daughter, she has past asthma. And it's that machine. It's a nebulizer. I'm sorry, not an inhaler. It's a nebulizer.
Because
within the first treatment, these are patients that had high risk. They've had actually chemo treatment. You put them on this, but you have to catch it early.
Yeah.
And within 24 to 48 hours, almost immediately, the COVID has been seen. He goes, I have at least five or four patients a day. And I'm like, doggone it, man. If I found this out was true, and the people wanted to suppress this because of their profit, I'm going after these people for criminal charges. Some of these people.
I think it's going to be a wild west after the election when you see people going after people for fraud and for just all of the fallout of this time that we're in. Because we have to look at the advantages, right? There is so much really cutting-edge new research going on in this area that it's almost like we'll never have the wool pulled over our eyes again.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, we have another article this week. Quote, in cell studies, seaweed extract outperforms remdesivir in blocking COVID-19 virus. Now, seaweed is a lot cheaper than remdesivir. Remdesivir is $3,000 per treatment.
Mm.
We're seeing more and more of this coming out right now.
Yeah. Bless the internet. Really, we have so much broad communication that people can really inform each other and can really back up any questions that need to be answered. You can find somebody who has very intelligent things to say, and then you can spread that around. And even though there are these mainstream forces that are intervening, there is still a very robust conversation going on in the very intelligent population of our country.
Yeah.
I appreciate you having this on, because that way we have a voice. And like I said, maybe this treatment won't cure everyone, but if it saves at least one or two patients their lives, my goodness, what's the harm in trying it out?
Sure. Yeah, well, lungs can be treated very well with those kinds of therapies, as we know.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jose. Yeah. Another caller?
Yeah.
Okay, let's say hello to Earl. Hello, Earl from Scotts Valley.
Hey, Earl.
Hello. Born and raised in San Francisco, moved to Sacramento for 60 years,
mm-hmm.
and radio station KFBK in Sacramento.
All right.
And then I moved here a year ago, mm-hmm. and I looked around the AM dial and found 1080.
All right.
I could not but fantastic radio.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah.
And including you folks. In fact, you were talking about your products and told me on the radio about Healthy Body Start Pack number 2. I ordered it. Mm-hmm. Only one disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
The work inside that told me how I was supposed to use it. What kind of materials, how much to have per day, how often, and how. No owner's manual. Can you tell me? The three bottles you described were in there, but I don't know how to use them. Can you tell me how?
Well, I'm not looking at the label right now, but I know that each of the products has a supplemental info tag on it. And
no, they don't.
They don't.
Oh. Problem. I've had them for a month, and I can't find out how to use them.
Well, I would suggest you talk to Dave here.
Yeah, we've got to have Dave from the Dave Cave give you those answers. But, you know, basically, here's
he'll
how to look.
At 4 o'clock, by the way.
But let me give you a formula that I use when I can't read it for some reason, you know, if it's like the print is so small that my glasses don't work. If there's 9 pills in a bottle, then that means you're supposed to take 3 a day, right? If there's 60 pills in a bottle, that means you're supposed to take 2 a day. If you bought one of those canisters of, say, the Beyond Tangy Tangerine with the powder, you would just take a scoop. A scoop will get you a nice drink, and you can have it once or twice a day. I think that it comes with a total of 60 scoops. So twice a day would be recommended. Sometimes Doc Wallach tells you to take more of various things if you have particular conditions. But it's really meant to be a very simple, like one or two of the individualized servings a day.
Just put it in your mouth and eat it, or how do you... Take it.
Well, I would call Dave in about this. I mean, Mrs. Future does do that, but we have a lot of we're trying to cover on our show, and we really don't sell vitamins on our show so much.
Anyway,
Earl, could I talk?
Yeah.
Get that information?
Dave, talk to Dave.
Dave Michaels. It does
Dave
the Flight 1080
yeah, the
show every
call,
day.
Call this number at 4 o'clock, after
yeah.
4. And
after 4, between 4 and 7, you can generally talk to Dave Michaels.
Yeah.
And same number.
Yep.
Yes, you can call this number.
Keep up the good work. As I said, born and raised in San Francisco, we did not have good thoughts about the folks in Santa Cruz.
Well, times they are changing, huh?
All right. Well, enjoy your vitamins, and we'll...
Bye-bye.
I'm living here in Scotts Valley, and they're very nice people and a wonderful radio station. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. I just want to cover a couple other things. One is the seaweed study. That looks extremely promising. That's heparin, a common anticoagulant, could also form the basis of a viral trap for SARS-CoV-2. And that's a Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute test.
Now, heparin, what kind of drug is that? That's a really standard emergency
room
drug.
It's a common anticoagulant.
Anticoagulant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and a test of the antiviral effectiveness against the virus and an extract from edible seaweed substantially outperformed remdesivir, the current standard antiviral used in mainstream medicine.
All right. Well, you know, these things, I much prefer having somebody who is very knowledgeable kind of tell us the science behind why these things are interesting for us. You know, when you say seaweed, I immediately think of iodine and sushi and T cells. You know, I see it as a way of pumping up your immune system. So then comparing it to something that I'm not as familiar with, like remdesivir, you know, that's just a name on the airwaves. I don't really have as much of a basic traditional vitamin knowledge of how that fits in.
Well, read the article from Science Daily. It's on our links page and was published in Cell Discovery.
Yeah, and Bobby, if you have any comments about that, of course.
Decoy strategy.
We always appreciate your point of view.
Yeah.
I think what it is the seaweed actually acts as a decoy for the receptor cell. And so it looks like, you know, the virus actually attaches to that instead of the real cell.
Okay,
and
cool. So we've got 10 seconds till our break here.
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you. All right, Dr. Future, we'll be right back.
Okay, we have a few other stories besides COVID, but let's finish up on the COVID stories before we delve into some of the other ones, shall we?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We were just talking about the seaweed extract outperforming remdesivir and heparin, the common anticoagulant that seems to be a viral trap for the SARS-CoV-2. That looks very promising. What do you know about the timing on that, Bobby, in terms of where... that research might actually be applicable to treatments?
These are usually in the beginning, or even some of them can be used as a prophylactic before you get it. Because what they're trying to do is reduce the viral load. So you know, what you want to do is not get as many of the viruses to get foothold in your chest, in your body. Mm-hmm. And so these things are very effective in cutting down the numbers of those actually having an effect. Mm. So these things are not very good toward the end of, except for some of the steroids might have some effect in dampening the cytokine storm at the end.
So these are good to take in prophylactically, i.e. as a preventative.
Yes, yes. Improve your immune system at the same time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, considering that most people don't have it yet, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people who don't appear to have it are actually immune.
Yeah, it turns out there's, I think we talked about this immunological dark matter out there.
Yes.
And so it looks like maybe some of these colds or other coronaviruses, cold viruses, some people have accidentally had somewhere contact with. And so there could be 50% of the population that's immune to it already. We just don't know.
Right. That's very interesting research that's going on in some medical communities, is to really analyze the fact that when you test people who do have evidence of the antibodies, they're walking around without symptoms and they're already immune. And so we can't act like we're in this no herd immunity population. We just haven't measured how much immunity there is. So anyway, that's all good news.
Yeah.
But let's go in a whole new direction for this time in history and return to some of the Dr. Future headlines.
Ah, okay. Well, we do have one little space story this week.
One giant space story.
Oh.
A giant leap for Dr. Future. Yeah. What is it?
Well, actually, sort of too, if you consider the upper atmosphere as a story as well. Mm-hmm. But there's some new information that came out on the dwarf planet Ceres in the asteroid belt.
Oh, yes. One of your favorites.
Yeah.
Yes. You heard about that?
Yeah.
It has a secret saltwater ocean.
Yeah. It's a cryovolcanic ocean. In other words, there are other oceans of planets, well, actually satellites or moons of Jupiter and Saturn. But since they're so close to Jupiter and Saturn, the water kind of melts off. But this one, it stays frozen.
Because it's not around a planet. It's in the asteroid belt. It's the largest object in the asteroid belt.
Yeah. Right. Do you think that's the leftover of Maldek? What is that planet? Maldek, yes.
Maldek? No, I don't. I think that's a story, that the asteroid belt was a planet. It's possible, but from what I understand, the materials in the asteroid belt are equivalent of about a quarter of a planet. There's not that much there compared to an actual planet. Though, that said, I've heard that there is, that Psyche, which is the metal asteroid, is considered by some as possibly a planetary core. And we haven't actually seen planetary cores because it's really hard to get down to them. You know, they're deep into the crust, and the deepest holes we've ever made in the Earth are maybe 12 miles. And you need to go down, I don't know, like 2,000 miles in the Earth to get to the core. If there's actually a core in the asteroid, I mean, I liken the asteroid belt more to like the Home Depot of the solar system. You know, it's got a lot of spare parts from stuff that maybe formed the solar system billions of years ago and may still be useful in terms of enhancing the solar system as we evolve. Like, you know, if Ceres indeed has an ocean of salt water, then maybe that might be useful for reclaiming Mars. If we indeed find Mars to be a lifeless planet, then it might be up to our species to improve its lot in life, so to speak, and bring life to Mars, in which case lots of water nearby could be very handy. And it is. It's relatively close to Mars. So I think of it as a Home Depot, and we can get stuff there to build the solar system once we are in the mindset of a solar system economy and a multi-planet species, which we're not yet, but this is the Dr. Future show, so we are and have been for some time.
Them days are not far off.
Yeah, it's coming closer and closer.
the image that you have on Gizmodo that has that white spot in it.
It's one of the best
images I've seen so far. What do you think that is?
Well, I think it's salt. Salt, possibly from the salt water sea that's
beneath. Yeah, remember the big mystery of Ceres is how come it looks like it has two shiny eyeballs?
Yeah.
So the latest theory is that that's salty ice, and underneath there's a vast salty sea.
The bright mineral deposits there. And they think the water might have been responsible for its bright surface features, according to the Dawn mission. They think that the water might be kind of briny, like a briny, salty water on the surface, and that the reflective deposits are sodium carbonate, and that's sodium, carbon, and oxygen.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think we should put a lander on there.
Well, it'll take a while to get there. I'm sure as we become a multi-planet solar system with life everywhere.
Multi-planet species.
A multi-planet species.
Yeah.
Then the asteroids will indeed be explored. We'll see how habitable they are.
Well, we'll probably get another one out there. We had the Dawn out there already. And, you know, and
if you can mine, is it nickel? Is it the core of a planet usually nickel? And so, gosh, or who knows, it's going to be a heavy element.
Well, Psyche, the asteroid Psyche.
Psyche, yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it might be a planetary core, solid metal of some sort.
So, you know, the next trillionaires are going to be the people that mine these asteroids.
Yeah, until they crash the Earth economy. You need a solar system economy, not a planetary economy, when you start bringing in extra solar resources. You know, it's going to blow away a planetary economy very quickly. So how we figure that out, not many have. I guess in science fiction, we have Star Trek. You know, they developed a larger economy. We had The Expanse on Amazon Prime as a show to try to look at a solar system economy, a solar system universe for our species.
Yeah, well, I think Star Trek was really right on from the 60s on. What we need are luxury self-contained spaceships that can travel at warp speed and go explore the universe.
Yeah, and and matter materializers instead of microwave ovens.
The thing is the idea to construct things out of the molecules. And I think the virus is helping us get there. I think looking at things as small as a virus help us to understand things as small as a molecule.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's certainly bringing a lot of attention on what, like, the smallest little creatures are. Never have so many millions of minds thought about viruses before.
Right. That's true. I mean, it used to be 150 years ago, there was one guy arguing that germs is how your health worked, and everybody else was like, no, it's the humors, you know?
It's all about the gases.
Yeah, we have a lot more ability to have groups of people applying their collected intelligence than we ever have before. And we should really trust that process. The fact that we know many, many more things than we ever did before doesn't make all of them cancel each other. It means that we have a new challenge of becoming discerning.
And figuring out how to play with matter in new and interesting ways. We have a very interesting article from Argonne National Labs this week on turning carbon dioxide into a liquid fuel.
You know, that's what we need. Yeah, absolutely.
Turns carbon dioxide into ethanol. And we also have a device on board the rover that's going to Mars right now, the Perseverance, that does that as well. Because there's CO2 in the atmosphere of Mars, and we can use that for creating liquid fuel.
Yeah, better to find it there than bring it with us.
Absolutely. Use the molecules where you are is an always more efficient approach. So the Department of Energy, Argonne Labs, in collaboration with Northern Illinois University, have discovered a new electrocatalyst that converts carbon dioxide and water into ethanol. Very high energy efficiency, high selectivity of the designable product, low cost. Pretty desirable because nearly all U.S. gasoline right now uses this as an intermediate product. And also the pharmaceutical world, cosmetics. Yeah. We're doing countdown to commercial. What do you have to say about that, Bobby?
Yeah, it was using just three copper molecules together in clusters that actually convert the carbon dioxide to ethanol.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yes, it is.
All right, we'll be right back This is the Dr. Mr. Future Show with Bobby Wilder. I'm talking to you. We'll have a couple more stories, then we're going to have an interesting guest in the second hour, which I think will blow you away. Thank you, Mr. M. We have a reference from a listener to an excellent Quora group for wide-ranging discussions on the coronavirus. Quora.com/Q/coronavirus.
Yeah, we're big fans of Quora. It's sort of better than Google in some ways, where you can ask a question and you will get answers from the various other people who like Quora who have answered it. So yeah. It's much more conversational. It's not really authoritative as much as it is people. It's more like reading the comments section.
Well, everyone can add to it too. So right. It's kind of a collective perspective.
You don't have a propagandist sorting out who gets to speak and who has to be muzzled.
And one of their coronavirus forums has 6.5 million followers, managed by a retired virus researcher.
Ooh. All right. Well, that sounds
so
valuable.
You, appreciate it. Very good. There's a couple things I want to mention on other topics. You might have heard a lot about Huawei, TikTok, and WeChat.
Sure.
The Chinese companies and apps.
Right. Okay. It's sort of like all of these people who were celebrating TikTok as, say, the Twitter of YouTube, right? It's like short-form videos that are really popular, that boost the ratings. It's like the Wild West in the early days of the internet, where you could get an audience just by being popular, not by being squelched as soon as you got popular so someone else could own your ad revenue.
Yeah. The idea is that right now you're hearing a lot of people are down on these groups because Chinese are spying on us through these apps and hardware stuff. But this article points out that, let's dispel the notion that China spies on everyone and the U.S. spies on no one. That's
right,
just not
right.
The case.
Who is spying on who first? Let's see. Did you hear Ed Snowden talk about China's incredible success at spying on their people?
Yes. Well, the problems with Huawei are twofold. The most obvious is that China's eating America's lunch when it comes to innovation and invention, and when it comes to that type of networking technology.
You mean they're stealing our lunch?
They are offering cheap 5G technologies, which a lot of the world wants to do. The American technology is just not as advanced as yet. However, the government is basically threatening other countries not to use Huawei's products. The bottom line here is that the real issue is espionage.
Right. The back doors. It's all about the back doors to this connectivity.
Yes, no
software.
Practical. Cisco, for example, and other American hardware and software firms install back doors on their equipment for the convenience of the CIA and NSA all the time.
That's right. We're the first market economy to monetize spying on ourselves.
But suddenly Huawei is replacing Cisco and the other American firms with this better, less expensive equipment?
And this article points out how it's really hard to ask China to put in back doors for the CIA and the NSA to spy on us.
Yeah, how's the CIA and NSA going to get back doors in Huawei? No, that's...
We want reciprocal back doors. If you're going to spy on us with TikTok, we want to spy on you.
Yeah, so there's no solution other than to trash Huawei's reputation and accusing them of spying.
Now, didn't Microsoft buy TikTok now in the U.S.?
They're about to, right?
They're about to, right.
Yeah.
So the whole thing.
Okay, we'll see. So we'll finally get that TikTok information for our own spyware.
This whole spy thing involves what's called the Five Eyes espionage network. Five Eyes.
What does that mean? That
Those
sounds
are
like
very
out
close
of a
alliance.
Movie.
These are countries that share a lot of intelligence. The U.S., Canada, the U.K., Australia, and New Zealand.
What an unlikely set.
All right. So generally, it's not cool for a spy agency to spy on their own people. However,
says who?
Well,
that sounds like propaganda, Dr. Future.
No, you're not supposed to, NSA's not supposed to spy on Americans.
But they do.
Right.
What do you mean?
No, they don't.
They don't.
What happens, though, is that it's okay for other countries to share information with the CIA
NSA. So they,
UK can spy on us, and then they can get the information from the UK, you know, because of the exchange network. But you don't spy on your own people. You get information on your own people from your allies.
So let's just slow down a second and dissect this. This is so interesting. So what you're saying is that laws that are made at the national level are in place for the nation. However, since the people in the nation are allying with people who have other countries making their laws, we can ask them to do something that's illegal here, and then they can give us that information. So we don't have to be illegal, and we can get the benefits of if we were doing something illegal.
Absolutely. That's absolutely standard.
And that's what this article is all about.
Well, I just pointed out, so, you know, Canada spies on Australian citizens, sends the info to the Australian spooks who claim they did nothing wrong. You know, basically, what they say, rinse and repeat.
Well, and I remember listening to a blog about how this is what was going on with the CDC grant money around the granting of the patents to test for coronaviruses, which here in the United States, the Supreme Court found in like 2013 that the CDC was not allowed to own the patents because they're a government agency and governments can't own patents because it's taxpayer money. And yet the Supreme Court said that we can't own the patents. And so the CDC opened up funding for the same kind of research that was being prevented here in Wuhan, China, and that was the basis of all that money that Fauci supposedly sent to Wuhan, was to pursue patent-protected research that he couldn't do here in the United States.
It was illegal to create a bioweapon in the United States because we have treaties around the
world.
But
we can fund
research in other countries.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, so it isn't sufficient to ban Huawei only from U.S. because the company's equipment would castrate the NSA's effort in the other four nations that are part of the Five Eyes. So the U.S. is trying to ensure that its Five Eyes is Huawei free. You know, that all the five countries that share spy information must not have Huawei. That's the goal, and that's the story, essentially.
That's so interesting. It's sort of saying, well, I can't help you, but I have friends. They can help you.
Yeah. Do you have a caller?
We do. We have a caller.
Okay.
We have Rory in Watsonville. Hi, Rory.
Hi, Rory.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you. I've been listening to you guys off and on as I have time. Thanks for your virus coverage.
Yes.
Yeah. And Doc Future, I heard about that Five Eyes spy versus spy across five countries.
Yeah.
I first heard about that about 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's been
and
like going
on a long
time.
If anybody wants to look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was called the Echelon Project.
Yeah, earlier versions.
You can look it up.
That's right.
That's when it first came out, and it was Brit spies on the U.S., U.S. spies on the Brits, and then they trade information. They don't break the law.
Yeah, exactly.
Wink, wink. Yeah.
Go figure, right?
It's swamp behavior at its finest.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, it's been going on. It was Dr. Stan Monteith that brought that to my attention some years ago. Thank you. I just wanted to put that out there. If anybody wants to do research, look up the Echelon Project. And you'll see it more.
Epsilon,
Echelon.
Echelon. Echelon.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, Rory.
Yeah, like the higher echelon.
Got it.
And yeah, keep up the virus exposure. No pun intended. I think that we as a country, if we're going to get back and thrive, we've got to be on our game. And when you look at things as simple as quinine and hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and an antibiotic, is a game changer. We just got to push back and keep talking amongst ourselves. Many people know about this. I even ran into a guy that he takes a gin and tonic and he downs a 10 or 15 milligram zinc tablet.
Zinc iodine.
The old prevention is worth a pound of cure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Listen, thanks, Rory. We got one more
Thank
call
you guys.
At the end of the hour here.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Corsetan.
And hello, David from Aptos.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah,
hi, David.
I'll make this quick. It doesn't seem like I have a lot of time. Yeah, New Zealand does not allow any Huawei 5G at all in their whole country.
There you go.
And I did meet someone that actually is a vet. They used to be a communications technician for the Army, a West Point grad.
Yeah.
And now they work AI in the Valley. And they told me that China is, of course, setting up 5G all through South America. A lot of these countries owe China money. So they set up these 5G towers. They collect their information. It goes through algorithms. Then they plan on selling this information back to these rogue nations to use against their people. And at the same time, China is ahead in the AI race. And they will always be ahead because that's how AI works, right? I mean, you guys know that AI, once it starts learning, it's going to be ahead. So they will always lead the AI race and will always be behind them. We should definitely not allow any kind of 5G from Huawei and anywhere in the United States.
Well, the plan is to keep it out of all five nations, all five I nations.
Right, sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, breathtaking information here at the last minute of the first hour of the Dr. Future Show here on KSCO.
Yes. Next hour, and now for something completely different for the next hour. We're going to look at a new theory of psychology, understanding who we actually are, or something along those lines. We'll see.
All right. Symphony of Cells.
Could I be a we?
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
We all are. All right. Be right back.